Are you joyful?
Yes.
Right on. Good answer. You nailed it right the first time. There is no greater joy than knowing Jesus, bar none. There is nothing in life that can even come close to what it means to know Jesus and the absolute joy that he brings into our life. Calvary covers it all. Right on? There is also great joy in declaring one's faith and life in Christ by following him in the waters of baptism. This is an historic occasion in that it's the first time in our 40 years of ministry that we've had two baptismal services back to back, two Sundays in a row. And that's just awesome. Thank the Lord for that. Baptism is the public declaration of what has already transpired in one's heart and declares the reality of our faith. That we belong to Jesus and we are a follower of him. It's a declaration that we wear and bear the name of Christ. It is to him that we belong. What greater joy can there be? Jesus commissioned his disciples and his church, therefore, with these words, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It was after the Last Supper, Jesus and his disciples, except for Judas, were walking in the Garden of Gethsemane. And as they're walking past the olive trees, many of which still stand today, Jesus pointed to the olive trees. And he said to the disciples, "I am the vine and you are the branches." This is a passage that we were looking at a couple of weeks ago in our series, The Power of the Resurrection in Me. Jesus paints a wonderful picture there of the intimacy of relationship and of the disciples' dependence on him and therefore our dependence on Christ. Just like the branch draws its life sustenance from the vine, so we draw our spiritual life sustenance from the person of Jesus Christ. That's the picture. The branch has to be connected to the heart of the tree in order to live. In the same conversation, Jesus also gave another picture, very briefly, but one that they well understood. He said, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you." When you clean your hands, what do you need? What do you use? Water, right? Water is cleansing. Water is a symbol of cleansing. Water is also a symbol of the Word of God. The soul cleansing power of the Word of God and the presence of God in our life. Jesus presented himself as the living water. He said, "Whoever drinks of the water I give will never thirst again." Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is the picture, well, I guess you can't see it, of the stained glass that's behind me. This is the reason that biblical preaching must always be central to the Christian's worship. We speak to God in praise and worship through song and prayer, but he speaks to us as we listen to his word unfold, and we listen for his voice deep within. And worship is not complete until we have heard his word and heard his voice and respond to it. Jesus himself at the beginning of his public ministry went to John the Baptist as an act of obedience to his heavenly Father and was baptized. The Holy Spirit on that occasion, you will recall from your reading, descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven proclaimed, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." The Father and the Holy Spirit were present and pleased at the Son's baptism. They are here today and pleased as Dave and Roger and Rory publicly declare their faith in him. Rejoice with them and sense the Lord's presence as the Holy Spirit himself descends and brings the Lord's presence, and hear the Father's pleasure today, for he is well pleased. Dave Fox, are you declaring today that you received the Lord Jesus in your heart as your Savior, and is it your desire to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes,
sir. I then baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Shelswell, are you declaring today you have received the Lord Jesus in your heart as your Savior and it's your desire to follow him all the days of your life?
Yes, I am.
I then baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Rory has something he wants to share with you.
There are several people here today who, if you ask them, would tell you that they were surprised to learn that I was ready to take this next step on my faith journey today. These would include my wife, Eva Jean, my brother and sister-in-law, Gus and Carol McDonald, who have come all the way from Point Clark to be with me on this occasion. And even you, Pastor Smart. I spent the first 22 years of my life in the Presbyterian Church and the next 52 years in the United Church. Neither denomination practices baptism by immersion. And I have stated that in conversations over the years, and even as recently as interviews with the pastor a few weeks ago, that this was the case. So there was no one more surprised than I was when one recent Sunday morning, sitting in a pew about four rows from the front of this sanctuary, I was overcome by the strong feeling that it was time to stop resisting and debating, and in the words of the well-known Nike commercial, just do it. So, Pastor Smart, here I am. Let's just do it.
Right on. When we talked in the middle of the week after you'd given me his card indicating wanting to be baptized, I said, well, after I picked myself up off the floor from reading your card, because we'd had that length of a conversation. So God bless you on your decision. Rory McDonald, are you declaring today that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior and it's your desire to follow him all the days of your life?
I do.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, I now baptize you. Because we packed it all into today. I'm going to call on Dave and Shari to join me on the platform along with Roger and Rory and Eva Jean and the deacons if they could come and join me here as we offer the right hand of fellowship and formally receive them into membership. Heavenly Father, we stand before you on this occasion of the baptism of Dave and Roger and Rory and now receiving those into membership along with Shari and Eva Jean. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace that has called them to be here in your divine will and plan in their lives and for the part that they have in our church life. We pray that you would bless them. We pray your Holy Spirit to fill them and use them for your kingdom as you see fit each and every day. May they live for you. We joyfully receive them into our fellowship today and pray your blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Last November, eight of us from this church traveled out to Togo, West Africa, to be on a work team. It's Mike Hammers in the back that you can't recognize because he's got cat on his forehead. That was the team, and we had an awesome 2 weeks there helping this couple, whose aunt is here, Heather, in their work constructing houses for staff on the hospital compound there. And this last week, Nate got so seriously ill with malaria, he had to be hospitalized. But he is out of the hospital now and is recovering, so if you could remember Nate. They are preparing to end their ministry there, so just remember them in prayer as they're preparing to come home, and we look forward to the day they're going to be here sharing their experience. So while we were there, after one very hot work day, 100 degrees in the shade, in for supper walks this Pastor Joseph. Come on up here. He had this amazing green t-shirt, and if you know about me, I should have worn my green shirt today, but I should have even worn my togo shirt. Just wasn't even thinking about it. I told you I was starting tallest to shortest. And he works with ABWE, the mission that we went to Togo under, and the mission that Nate and his wife served with. In any event, as we chatted, he said, I'm going to be in Toronto. I said, well, why don't you come and share a Sunday with us? Because he's representing ABWE today, and he's here to bring God's word as well as a presentation of his work, very important work, in the nation of Togo, and solicit your prayers and support. Before he does that, let's pray. God, our Father in heaven, we come into your presence today and we're in awe of you. We're in awe of Calvary and all that the Lord Jesus did on our behalf there. And by our faith in him, we joyfully enter into your presence today to commit the rest of this service to you and all those here today who have special need that we have not mentioned and yet you know all about. For everyone who sits in this place today and for everyone who is within the sound of my voice, we pray, Lord, that you would undertake for them whatever their need may be, in body, soul, or spirit. Rest your hand and assure your children of your presence and of your help each and every day. And now I thank you for the great privilege that we have of having my brother in the Lord's service here today, all the way from Togo, to share the work that you have called him to. We pray the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon him and upon us. Give us ears to hear and hearts that are willing. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so glad when I met the team in our hospital. And Sister Sue, is that Sue? But said, I came with my pastor. So she ran and called her pastor. And that's where we, and so warm to welcome him and say, come. So when we are preparing for our visit, we put Mary on our program. We even set the date, June 10th. So right on the spot. So I'm so glad I came and I came with Lisa, with my wife Francisca, and thank Sister Sam, who came to pick us up at Bradford. So happy and so glad to be with you this morning. Actually, we are missionary with ABWE, working with youth and parent ministries, including church planting. And we go around, and we travel a lot in the country. You know how the roads are nice with the potholes and different kinds. Interesting. It's good to come to Africa and experience how blessed you are in North America. Don't complain. And I'm so glad that the Lord has called me to be part of the ministry in my own country. And the Lord is leading us as we travel each week to have seminars, conferences, fill out the pulpits, have personal evangelism, and winning souls, and building strengthening churches in our own country. In fact, Africa is open for the gospel. And we pray that the Lord will use one of you, or call one of you, to be part of this. I would like to take these few minutes and encourage you this morning in Exodus chapter 2. Let's turn our Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Father, we here we are before you and your word. Only your word can transform. Through the Holy Spirit, we ask that your word can do something in the hearts today, so that lives can be changed and draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Throw it in the basket. throw it in the basket. And the basket represents the hands of God. We know the history of Israel because before Israel or Jacob and his children or his descendants moved from Canaan to Egypt, Joseph was there before. And Joseph, we can say he was a great man in those days. He saved lots of people, lot of nations from famine. And this morning we are going to learn about the father of Moses. They went through a lot of challenges, and the way they went through this will teach us a lesson. Somebody will draw closer to the Lord this morning. Just six lessons or reasons which will give us an idea or will teach us to entrust our burden in the hands of the Lord. When we read from chapter 1, verse 8, is saying, "Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph." A new king arose who did not know Joseph. How can Joseph be forgotten? That great Joseph be forgotten? Well, this shows that man can be forgotten. No matter what you do to anybody, you can be forgotten. And this also shows that times and seasons change. Times and seasons change. The day we are today, June 10, will not be the same next year. And you already know that the winter season has prolonged than the past years. The seasons change. Only God doesn't change. If Joseph can be forgotten, you and I can be forgotten as well. So don't depend on man, but depend on God. Time and seasons change, but God doesn't change. And in our nations or in our world today, even in political areas too, things change. So, we must always depend on God because He doesn't change. If Joseph can be forgotten, we remember the story, the history of Joseph, what he did in Egypt and to the whole world. Can this man can be forgotten? If he can be forgotten, then you and I can be forgotten by somebody, no matter what we do for them. But depending on God is a sure assurance to trust Him. Second, the reason why we should trust the Lord or carry our burden in His hand. The second reason is in chapter 2 now. In chapter 2, in Exodus chapter 2, he's saying, verse 1 to 3, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of burnt rushes for him, damped it with asphalt, and pitched it, and put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank." Human power and ability have limitation. Here comes a beautiful, handsome child. Because the king made a decree that if a male child was born, he should be killed. Now, this Hebrew parents, they love their child. And they don't want to kill the child. So, they made a basket, covered it with asphalt, and placed it in the riverside. Human power and abilities have limitations. God is limitless. If this Hebrew parent could not hold their child more than 3 months, it means their lack of ability and power. Sometimes we think we have the power, we have the strength, we have the financial assurance, so we don't depend on anyone. We depend on our strength. But a time will come, you need somebody. Money will not save you. Your power will be over. So, God made it in such a way that he gave us the liberty to choose. But when we made a bad choice, we are going, we hit a wall. That's why we found out that the Lord's strength is most powerful, not our strength. So, why we should depend on the Lord is our human power, human abilities have limitations. Third, verse 4 and 5 in chapter 2, and his sister, the baby sister, stood afar off to know what would happen, what would be done to him. And when the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bath at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. Here, God can use ordinary things to accomplish his goal. God can use ordinary things to accomplish his goal. Basket. What's the use of a basket? In Africa, we use it as a trash. Here, basket, which in Africa we can say is useless except for trash, is now holding a baby. Ordinary things God can use. A river of fatality has become a river of opportunity. A river that a child supposed to die in, now that child is alive. This innocent little child, I mean the daughter, the sister of the baby, she's innocent. Can be a wise advisor. And now, the enemy's daughter become a big supporter. Looking into all this, we found out that if we trust our own might from our head to our toe, including our hearts into the hands of the Lord, we will not have stress. We have peaceful night and no regret in whatever choice we make if we make it in the hands of the Lord. With God, all things are possible. I do believe that. If angels, Jesus Christ, testify that God is most powerful and nothing is impossible to him, is true. It's true. That nothing is impossible to God. Fourth reason to trust, to put our trust in the hands of the Lord is verse 6. In verse 6 says, and when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby wept, shows she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Only God can touch the hearts. Only God can touch the heart in such a way that the baby's cry has become a nice melody in the heart of the enemy's daughter, the Pharaoh's daughter. This daughter is supposed to report this to his father, to her father, and the baby can be killed easily because she knew the decree of her father, saying any baby child of a Hebrew family must be killed. So Pharaoh's daughter knew that this baby was a Hebrew child, and this baby must die. But the Lord has changed it, that the cry of the baby has become a melody in her heart. God is in it. Only God can touch hearts. The fifth reason why we should trust and put our burden in the hands of the Lord is only God can give wisdom to the unlearned. If you can read, only God can give you wisdom. Let's listen to verse 8. Then his sister, this girl, said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? This little child, maybe 6 or 7 year old girl, was advising the princess, that should I go and call a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you? This girl was a sister to Moses, because there were three: Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. So Moses was the baby, and Miriam was the girl who went to Pharaoh's daughter and ask. And she was so wise, she didn't say, should I go and call the baby's mom to you? She didn't say that. That's wisdom. That comes from God. So only God can give wisdom to the unlearned. If you don't know how to read or to memorize, you are still useful to the Lord. God can use anyone to accomplish his will. You are not useless. You are not useless. You remember the story of Naaman in the Old Testament? How this great man got healed of his leprosy through a little girl. How Jesus fed 5,000 people in the desert through a little boy. You know how in the early church, after Pentecost, how the world was upside down through the apostles, through people who have not been to school. The apostles preached the resurrection Savior, Jesus Christ, and people got saved. You can be used by God no matter your age, no matter your financial restrictions, no matter your lack of going to school. God can still use you if you still trust him. Not anyone, not anybody. And the sixth and the last, God can reverse any situation. In verse 8 and 9, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. God can reverse everything. What surprised me in this story was the reversing of God's plan in this story. In this pew, there are lots of women more than men, and lots of moms as well. Which of you was paid because you nursed your own child? Which of you was paid because you nursed your own baby? No one. Yeah, baby, thank you. Over here, the mother was paid for nursing her own baby. Before this, the parents were poor. They were poor. The baby's life was scary to them. They had no security. But now, not only the baby was alive, but they were being paid. This is the result of trusting the Lord with our own heart, without depending on anybody, without depending on our strength, without depending on our financial security, but depending on the Lord, He will do great, more abundant than we think. I saw this man of age, excuse me to say, made decision to be baptized. It means they have surrendered their life totally in the hands of the Lord. I pray they continue till death do them apart. I don't have time to give examples in my own life, but I will come again. Amen. Praise the Lord that the Lord is still working in lives in everywhere in the world, but it's up to us. He doesn't change. Don't forget. Seasons and times change. Human beings, we have limitations of our power and our abilities. And God can change hearts. He gave wisdom to the unlearned. And He can reverse every situation in our lives. Which situation are you going through now? I know that each and every one of us are going through some challenges and differently. Here is the secret. Depend on the Lord. Trust Him. Not on anyone. He will do it more abundantly than we think. If you are here today and you are not a Christian, I encourage you to make a right decision now. Depending on the Lord is also you are saying that, "Lord, I am a sinner. I cannot save myself. You can save me. That's why you sent Jesus Christ to come and die on Calvary on my behalf. Now I want to believe that He is my Savior." You can do that today, and He's able to do that to help you go through for your whole life. 35 years ago, I received Christ. I never regret. Although coming from Africa, you know the challenges we were, but we are satisfied that Christ is our Savior. I said, I cannot suffer in my body, die, and go to hell and suffer again. It's rather I suffer in my body in the flesh, and after that, I rejoice in heaven. Thus, and I say, Christ is our hope. Without Christ, I would not have been here today. Pastors and the team would not have been in Togo. Praise God, we are here. I pray that you submit your life. And those who are Christians, and you don't know this, Christ is our all hope. Depend on God. Trust him with any situations in which we are going through. He will lead you through. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother Joseph and his wife will be at the door that you can chat with after. God bless you for your message to us today, a message of real encouragement to each and every one. And our last song, we're just going to do the very first verse of the last song, My Hope is in the Lord. Let's stand. Each and every person here today have placed their hope in you. With that, we ask your Holy Spirit now to fall upon us. Take us from this place and use us each and every day for your honor and your glory and our benefit which you desire, that our joy and yours may be full. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.